Breaking news today on Seculo as a new FBI cover-up is exposed.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
All right, folks, welcome to Seculo. We are taking your calls, too, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We talked to you about this earlier, this FBI training program. An individual involved who participated in this program, who was part of the Palestinian secret, like a secret police or special police unit in the West Bank. So this, again, this is not the Gaza Strip. We're not talking about Hamas here, but more links to the PLO and Palestinian Authority. And we played for you that graduation video. That's a 10-week professional course of study for U.S. And international law enforcement managers nominated by their agency heads. And this National Academy program trains these in some of our tactics from the FBI. And there's a graduation ceremony. We played the graduation ceremony for you. And in the graduation ceremony, the guy on the microphone who's introducing the graduates, when it gets to the individual from the West Bank, says that he is from Ramallah, the state of Palestine, which, of course, the United States does not recognize a state of Palestine, nor does the United Nations, though they are not actually a full member state of the UN. They have some representation there, but even the United Nations has not come to a full agreement on that. And so there's some countries recognize, some don't, but we certainly do not in the United States. And you have to wonder, why are we even training Palestinian terrorists while they are still trying to utilize U.S. funds to pay their pay-for-slay program, which we were supposed to stop with the Taylor Force Act, but yet the Biden administration got millions and millions, probably more than like billions of dollars over to the Palestinian Authority and their autocratic leader, Mahmoud Abbas. So we played you that. We filed a FOIA, and Will, the video, nowhere to be found now.
That's right. As we've seen, even back in the Obama administration, when sometimes these bureaucracies get caught on something, all of a sudden they try to make it go away. So we filed our FOIA request on Monday. I've got it right here, and we're trying to get answers about the decision-making process, why this man was noted of being from the state of Palestine at Quantico at an official FBI ceremony. And mysteriously, as we were doing more research for blogs, for our website, for this broadcast, members of our team went to go look at that original graduation ceremony video, which was an unlisted video. It already wasn't something that they wanted super forward-facing. It was an unlisted video. So we had found it earlier through a link from a nonprofit that supports the National Academy and those that graduate. And when you went to that link, it says that the video was removed by the user. So the account for the National Academy had removed the graduation ceremony. It is nowhere to be found, which is prompting us to update our requests to the FBI. Why was it removed? What communications around that were it to be removed? Why at this time, when we're coming up on the transition of administrations and there will be a new FBI director, does it appear to any observer that they're trying to cover their tracks about this? We also found from other sleuths on the internet and things of that nature that this individual had a table set up at the reception that had a placard that said State of Palestine and a map that showed what he believes to be Palestine in the state of Palestine with a Palestinian flag over it covering the entire state of Israel.
Where's Israel? Don't say Israel separated out from that map. And yet, will that come down? So he's pretty bold. FBI either didn't do their work and just had their guy on the microphone just say, well, we'll let him, so he can be from whatever state he wants to be. And then we're going to let him do it at this food fair. We're cover up the state of Israel, which is exactly what Hamas and the Palestinian Authority and UNRWA, they do in their textbooks. They act as if Israel doesn't exist. We have to fight back. Of course, we got our matching challenge, not just fighting in the new year, but right now. Donate today. Double the impact of your donation. Stand with Israel. Stand with the truth. All right, welcome back to Seculo. Now, this news, we told you about, of course, the graduation video from the FBI's National Academy 10-week program. And they bring in this student who is very proud of his family's linkage to Yasser Arafat. Do we have that photo for
Show
people?
That.
This is a picture of his father. He's very excited about it. Now, that is Yasser Arafat. I want to go to Jeff Balaban in Jerusalem because, Jeff, you look at that picture of Yasser Arafat. That's not old man Yasser Arafat. That is Yasser Arafat towards right in the middle of running a terrorist organization.
That's right. Look, I think we all understand that Yasser Arafat never really stopped being a terrorist. In fact, Yasser Arafat famously wrote what he called the phased plan for Israel's destruction in 1974. And the plan was to get a toehold, which was, i.e., obviously the Palestinian Authority, and thereby destroy the entire state of Israel using the Palestinian Authority, which is just the PLO, as a way to eradicate Israel. So he's always a terrorist, but he pretended to be a statesman and was awarded, as we know, a Nobel Prize. But this, as you point out, Jordan, predates that. This was when he was proud, openly terrorist days.
That's right, Jeff. And in this image, he even says, "May God have mercy on the symbol Yasser Arafat, healing and long life to my father, God willing." But then there's also an image on his Facebook page. Someone shared a video on his Facebook page, and it's in Arabic. And he liked the video that someone posted. But we looked into that, and it's a eulogy in Arabic by an Iraqi poet to the, quote, martyr Saddam Hussein. So already we're seeing, as if it weren't enough that he worked for a security service with the Palestinian Authority, we're seeing questionable things publicly from this person the FBI was training. So not only are we concerned about the FBI's judgment and who they take on as trainees in this National Academy program, but when you see the images that he was allowed to set up a table at a reception with a placard that said State of Palestine and an image that it's hard to see because it is further back. But when you look and zoom in, there's a Palestinian flag that covers the entire state of Israel. So he's not holding back about what his beliefs are about who's who and what is what in the region. And yet our FBI is okay with just announcing that he's from the state of Palestine. But Jeff, we're not going to just sit back at the ACLJ. We're going to push forward and we're going to get to the bottom of this.
Well, I think that's absolutely vital, William, because the fact is, as we know, that we've already seen evidence of people with very questionable ties at best, people who have actually been thrown out of the administration. Since this Biden administration came into power, people who have terribly powerful influence who seem to be associated with our enemies, not just the enemies of the state of Israel, but enemies of America. And somehow they've come in places of influence. And now we see this example. And so it's necessary to dig into this. Also, you know, this is something which, again, isn't quite as high profile in Israel. I don't think Israel has yet seen this. This is really something that we in America need to really, well, I'm here in Israel, but ACLJ, that's one of the purposes of the ACLJ Jerusalem office, is to explain to Israelis what's happening there so they have a clear sense of the picture on the ground at what is supposed to be Israel's greatest ally, but unfortunately, in this last administration, has really turned out to be not much of an ally.
And no one had an issue. I want to put that map up again on the screen. I can't imagine that with the well-trained FBI officers that you've got there that are part of this international training program, that if you put up a map like that, which shows that Israel tries to show that Israel doesn't exist, you put the Palestinian flag right where Israel is, and you don't even try to make notations, that no one saw that, Jeff. No one thought that that was potentially inappropriate, you know, where this guy, maybe we should have researched before bringing him over and seen how much praise he has for people like Saddam Hussein on his social media. He's got that he's shared. He's got this, of course, his father's connection to Yasser Arafat that he's very, again, proud of and putting out. He's not trying to hide this anywhere. And then when he gets to America, I think he probably says, let's see how far I can go with this. I'll write down State of Palestine. Let's see if they'll say it. They did. And then when we had the food fair, you know, I'll smile. I'll put up my little food place. We can do the backup photo too, so you can see. It was just like, hey, try some food from, you know, this part of the Middle East. But look at where the placement was of the State of Palestine. I mean, That's the biggest state of Palestine I've ever seen developed by anyone. I mean, when you look at that, yes, I mean, yeah, and I mean, it's covering up basically all of Israel. He puts the flag right in the heart of probably Jerusalem. And I guess, you know, we've got an issue. I thought FBI training, these would be pretty top level folks, Jeff, that would be able to see this and say, you know what, this violates our policies as the United States government.
Let's be very clear. Jordan, you're right. This is a genocidal image. This is the definition of genocide. It's the eradication of an entire nation. That's what this image represents. That's what the state of Palestine represents to them. And that's what they're producing here. And you're right, at the FBI itself, it's. I guess I'm laughing a little bit because it seems so absurd, but the truth is it's incredibly dangerous.
Yeah.
And that it's saturated and penetrated so far. And we'll also point out that the result of the Biden administration being so pushy on the idea that it should be a state of Palestine, that the result of this, the horrors of October 7th, the horrors, the atrocities, is that these people should be rewarded with a state, and that they keep on pushing this idea has led the state of Israel, the Knesset, the legislature, to pass two laws, twice separately, resolutions saying with overwhelming majorities, saying they're, number one, there must not be a unilateral recognition of a state of Palestine, directly after Joe Biden made a comment about the state of Palestine, saying, no, do not recognize it. And of course, this is what they seem to be trying to do, facts on the ground. And number two, passed another one to make it clear, if the first wasn't clear, it's not just unilateral recognition, that Israel says, no, you cannot reward the horrors, the terror, the murders, the war with a state, because it's also an existential threat to the state of Israel. And you see, this image shows you the existential threat.
You know, I want everyone to understand right now that we are in, right now, the final 2 weeks of our Faith and Freedom Year and Drive. Your ACLJ, we take on literally hundreds of cases every year. Just this year alone, we've handled 126 legal actions battling deep state matters. That's just deep state matters, 126 legal matters. Think about that. That's 126 clients, cases, multiple briefs, probably times three on that. So hundreds of briefs, demand letters, depositions, all fighting back against the war on your constitutional freedoms. We'd love to take on more cases next year, but we can't do it without your support. You know, my motto here at the ACLJ is I always want to be in a place economically, and we'll know that in the new year if we're in that place, about how well we do this month with these final 2 weeks of fundraising, is that I never want to have to turn a case down because it's too complicated and it's going to cost too much money to vindicate someone's constitutional rights and their protections and freedoms in the United States of America. So you go to ACLJ.org right now, make that tax deductible gift today. It will be doubled. And again, like we said, in 2024, 175 pro-life legal matters handled, 197 free speech matters, 142 religious liberty matters, 152 legal letters and briefs defending Israel, and hundreds of others like FOIAs, the Freedom of Information Act request, the work that we do overseas at the United Nations, those periodic reviews of all those different countries and human rights abusers. All of that work just done by our legal department in 2024. That doesn't add in the government affairs, what our media team is able to do, just in the legal department. That's what you're supporting by donating right now. And again, we got 2 weeks to hit our goal. We are a little bit behind. We're getting into, you know, the Christmas season. So we need you really to donate today while it's on your mind. Your gift will be doubled. Donate whatever you can so we can keep this work going, not just in the new year, but right now, because we're changing this FOIA as we speak because of this new image that was shown and the takedown of the video, which they always love to do at the FBI. Don't they love that, the FBI?
It's one of their favorite
Remember
things.
The Border Patrol? They caught the terrorists at the border. They showed their pictures, and then that was taken down. And then you find out it was taken down for political reasons because it went against the narrative of the Biden administration and the border. This is the same kind of thing. They don't want us knowing the kind of people they're training in their programs and their links to terrorism. Let's just be honest. This guy, in most countries, I think, I'm surprised in the United States, didn't get flagged before he got here.
That's right. And Jeff, we've only got about a minute left here, but this is the same FBI that targeted parents at school board meetings, the same FBI that went after Catholics that were pro-life, and in somehow they didn't even vet this man's social media to think maybe he shouldn't be in this National Academy. But some people may be listening today and say, well, what does it matter? Chris Wray's gone in a month, and you know, it's a whole new FBI. But we have to keep pushing, Jeff, so that we can help guide the new FBI at what they need to remedy.
Yeah, because, Jeff, it's not a whole new FBI on day one. It's Kash Patel and maybe a couple top deputies who have then got to deal with who are the bad actors here, even like in this program, that we need to remove because of bad judgment.
That's right. Both are exactly correct points. Number one is this: the work doesn't wait for the new year to begin, doesn't wait for the new administration. It's immediate. It's right now. And it's very deep. This is a saturation that's very deep. We don't have a lot of time for this, but I have a friend who lost a son, was killed in domestic terror in America by an Arab Muslim terrorist. And the FBI, the government denied that it was terrorism. It took her 7 years of fighting until it was called terrorism by the government. This has been going on for quite a long time. And so we absolutely, and William said we need to help guide. Thank God that we have those kinds of relationships. And
listen, I'm not afraid to talk about these drones because President Trump said the government knows exactly what they are and what they're doing, and they're just not going to tell the American people. He's probably not in a position yet, though he's getting briefings to go ahead of, you know, Joe Biden, go ahead of of the White House. Though once he becomes president of the United States, that all bets are off. He can share whatever information with the American people he wants. I mean, that was the deal with this talk about classified information and the idea that the president, you know, cannot declassify things. That the president could give a speech and there could be a lot of security people who say, don't say this, don't say this, don't tell people what it is. And he could absolutely explain what it is. Maybe it's positive. Maybe it's a negative. Maybe it's not as coming from a bad state actor, but from our own, you know, law enforcement agencies who don't want us to know what they're testing and what they're trying to do. But I do think we're not too long away from getting an answer on this issue, which, again, they tried to gaslight people on, make people all out to be crazy, say they were all airplanes. I mean, there's not that many low-flying small airplanes ever. I mean, you have to be a lot more careful than that, especially when you're in the tri-state area. If you know about that, you know, you're talking about multiple airports with, you know, international flights coming in and out, some of the busiest airports in the world, and these drones are just flying all around, no problem, no big deal, and below radar. This is why it reeks. But Joe Biden finally answers a question about it. So here we go. Now, again, take it with a grain of salt. It's coming from Joe Biden. He doesn't do a lot of answers to questions like this, but even he has to finally answer this because it's getting to a boiling point with not just Republicans, but Democrats as well, especially state leaders. Let's take a listen.
What's the explanation for all those drones over New Jersey? What's behind all of that?
Nothing nefarious, apparently. But they're checking it all out. I think it's just one. There's a lot of drones authorized up there. I think one started and they all got it. Everybody's wanting to get in the deal.
Okay, so he's saying there's a lot of drones authorized up there, and once one started, they all got, everybody wanted to get a deal. Now people think of drones, I think, two different ways. They think military and like law enforcement drones. I mean, there are drones that can carry, as we know, for a long period of time we've had drones that are basically bombers and can shoot missiles and have killed terrorists before, and are, you know, we have pilots basically sitting like they're flying an airplane in buildings in Northern Virginia and Washington D.C. Suited up. They've showed this before on television. That's no secret. But that's why when people said, well, some of them look like the size of planes, that would be true for the more of the military side, law enforcement side. I don't want you to think in your mind drone, the kind of, you know, the toys you can buy or these kind of collector drones that you can do. What he's talking about here is something that had to be registered at least.
Right.
So that's something different than your kid is buying at the, you know, ordering on Amazon.
Right, like a small drone, if it's under the rules and regulations by the FAA, if it's under 250 grams in weight, so if it's 249, which many of the hobbyist drones are, you don't have to register it. If it's above that, you have to actually get basically like a tail number for it with the FAA. You have to take a class. You have to be licensed to fly the drone. But what I think the biggest problem, and I think this whole thing, this whole questions around this shows all the incompetence of the Biden administration in one story at the end of his term, because As he's trying to say, and may be a very legitimate answer, that there were some that caused concern and then it snowballed because the media went wild and the administration said nothing. And then anyone who ever sees something flying in the sky is then concerned it's one of these drones, even if it is a hobbyist drone. And he's trying to say, you know, then maybe people wanted to get in on the deal and start causing more chaos. But regardless what the answer is, they caused this problem. Because even if it is an authorized surveillance program that the U.S. military is doing, or if it's not, I mean, not that they'd want that to get out, but the fact it was spotted, the media ran with it, and it took them so long to even comment on it. And now you're getting briefings where members of Congress and some of them are walking out saying they're worthless. Something else is happening. And whether it's all of them are drones or there are specifically, there is something there that they don't want to publicly say.
Yeah, I mean, they're trying to say, well, some of this aircraft,
they keep saying it's not a foreign actor, leads you to believe it's probably some sort of government program that they don't want to talk about. But yet, the same time,
it's a government program, though, in New York and New Jersey and Pennsylvania, in some of the most heavily populated areas in those states. You know what? People are going to see it, though, and they're going to ask questions. So this is not the best place to test some program you're trying to keep real secret, because people start seeing all this. And they go, wait, I live near the airport, so I know what it looks like usually. This is not what it looks like. So you're trying to gaslight these people by saying, no, this is just the normal planes. Well, no, it's not, because they're from these areas. They know what the normal planes would look like. What, you know, it's like they're trying to run a top secret program, or at least they're acting like it's something like that, in a place where people can just look up in the sky and see there's just too many flying objects right now in the sky. I don't care. I'm not trying to talk about aliens here. We're just talking about flying objects. How are there this many? And again, I know the rules change in the evening and things like that with the lighting and the amount of time some of these drones, 12 hours up, I don't even know. That's got to be a very expensive, even like commercial drone.
Well, and here's the other problem here, Jordan, is that we talked about the FBI and their policy changes or non-policy changes here at the administration, into the administration, as well as what appears to be some problematic posts on this trainee at the National Academy's Facebook account, but yet he was still went through the program. This is the same FBI that this is a statement from FBI at law enforcement saying FBI Newark and the New Jersey State Police and dozens of other agencies and law enforcement partners have been out every night for several weeks to legally track down operators acting illegally or with nefarious intent and using every available tool and piece of equipment to find the answers the public is seeking. The FBI has been out there for weeks and still don't have the answers the public are seeking. And they're now warning people don't shoot down drones. They're letting it get out of hand. This whole FBI, this whole story shows you everything that has been wrong for 4 years. They can't answer the questions of the public. The public is freaking out because they don't have confidence in the leadership. The FBI can't get answers after being out for several weeks. How is our FBI not able to have answers? And even if they say, we have the answers, but we can't release them right now, but don't worry, something's wrong.
Yeah,
it's why we have to keep pushing on these things, too, as we mentioned in the last segment, because there are people in the deep state, there are bureaucrats that will not leave with the new administration. They still have their jobs. It's our job to help the incoming administration by doing this broadcast, filing FOIAs, so that it is on record at the FBI what's wrong and what they need to address. And then reminding them, hey, we've got a pending FOIA about why this video was taken down, why and who said it was okay to call it the state of Palestine. That's how we get to the bottom of it. Just because there's a new administration, our work doesn't end. It becomes more important than it ever has been to help root out the deep state, drain the swamp, and to make America a place that we remember, guided by the rule of law and the Constitution.
Folks, this is the time. As we talked about the deep state, we've had 126 legal actions battling the deep state matters this year alone. That's 126 clients, cases, briefs, and demand letters. That's, you know, just to compare, we had 197 free speech matters. Think about all these, and that's just a little bit of our work. That work has to continue when the new administration comes in. You have to help them out, because you've got to keep flushing out the bad actors, these videos, and so they know who to go to. So support the work of the ACLJ today. It is so important. We're running behind our goal here. We need you to donate today. Double your impact. Whatever you can give, donate.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
Welcome back to Seculo. We are taking your calls as well. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Rick Rennell is going to be joining us in the next segment of the broadcast. We're not going to get into it too much with him today, but you know he's been named to a new position within the incoming Trump administration, so we're excited about that. I'll let Rick get settled with that before we start asking him direct questions over the air about all of those specifics, because a lot of that does involve, you know, national security issues and negotiating with hostile countries. Just so while he's not here, I'll say what the news has reported, and that some of the top countries he will be working on, and I'm sure we'll get him to flesh that out for us later on, as it looks like he'll still be able to be a part of this broadcast into the new year, even with this position. But they said the first couple of countries, it looks like, I'm telling you now so we don't have to ask about it with Rick on the air yet, until he's comfortable talking about it directly, and understand that, because he's the president chose him for this position. But that those countries to first work with Venezuela, very, you know, difficult one, but one that is kind of thinking, should we keep, you know, being so tied to Iran and Russia right now? Because look what happened to people like Assad, who relied on Iran and Russia to keep them in power. And you know what? When Hezbollah, who does a lot of training in Venezuela as well, when they get, you know, bogged down with the conflict in Israel and all their leadership gets killed, you know, who's going to keep the dictators in Venezuela safe? He's also supposedly been assigned North Korea to re-engage in negotiations there, where we know the Biden administration just kind of just took a step back and just let it deteriorate. South Korea is in a tough spot right now, politically, domestically. So, you know, North Korea wants to take advantage of that. So he'll be joining us in the next segment of the broadcast as well. We've got work of being done, of course, for Tulsi Gabbard, who is nominated up, one of our, again, a colleague here on the broadcast on Seculo. You can sign the petition to get her confirmed up at aclj.org. So there's work that you can do that doesn't cost you a donation. If you're not in a financial place to do that, that you can take online right now at aclj.org. And I want to make sure our team also gets those petitions out to people, so that if they can't make that financial contribution right now, where they're trying to get some Christmas presents and put all that together, maybe some travel together, even with the inflation and things like that, that you still are engaged in very important work for us that does make a significant difference. And it does when you sign those petitions, especially for these nominees. So you'll see the Tulsi Gabbard petition up there. I just also want to just remind all of you the kind of work we did in 2024. And I know some of you have heard these numbers, but you got to think about it a little bit. When I say that we did 175 pro-life legal matters, okay, that's not 175, you know, just one-time things. So each one of those involved clients. They involve legal filings, usually starting with either a demand letter or a lawsuit that's filed. And when you then file a lawsuit, there's briefing. A lot of our cases are in federal court, so you could go through multiple appeals processes. You do, of course, depositions and issues like this. Some try to settle. Some settlements don't happen, so you've got to keep moving on in the court process. So when you hear 175 pro-life legal matters, when they are legal matters, that is not just 175 actions. That's probably over 1,500 actions, at least. Just for those 175. So when you hear 197 free speech matters, same thing. 142 religious liberty matters, 152 legal letters and briefs defending Israel, just defending the Jewish state of Israel, hundreds of others, all the FOIA work, all the work that doesn't fit inside those boxes neatly that we're doing at the ACLJ, the election integrity work that we did leading up to and even after Election Day. You know we were very engaged in that throughout these last couple of years, making sure you'd have more faith, and I think people did, in their election process. It wasn't just because Donald Trump won. It's because the numbers made sense. Now, we've still got some states that have got some explaining to do about why they can't get votes counted. But for the most part, I'd say 90% of the country, the votes came in. You didn't win all the places you would love to have won, but it wasn't like you were waiting weeks to get the votes. Support the work of the ACLJ. We need it right now. We're behind in our goal. Whatever you can donate financially will be doubled. Do it today, ACLJ.org. To Seculo, Rick Rennell joining us right now. And Rick, I know, again, there's a lot to talk about going on in the world and how the Biden administration is kind of leading this Trump administration into, I mean, you can look at kind of disaster after disaster, if it's domestic, if it's foreign, but also on these issues, specifically the questions that President Trump is getting asked by the media. I mean, some of the most ridiculous questions. I mean, you wonder... again, I guess because they were used to talking to Harris maybe so much that they just thought, we'll throw this out there and see if we can catch him, you know, giving people a glimpse of his thinking involving Iran and preemptive strikes. Let me play this for everybody, Rick. I know you've heard it, but let me play this for everybody so that they hear the question and President Trump's response.
Are you entertaining the idea of preemptive strikes against Iran's nuclear facilities?
Against who?
Against Iran's nuclear
facilities. Well, I can't tell you that. I mean, it's a wonderful question, but am I going to do preemptive strikes? Why would I say that? Can you imagine if I said yes or no? You'd say, that was strange that he answered that question. Am I going to do preemptive strikes on Iran? Is that a serious question? How could I answer a question like that?
Would you be in support of Israeli strikes on Iran?
How could I tell you a thing like that now? It's just so you don't talk about that before something may or may not happen. You know, just I don't want to insult you. I just think it's just not something that I would ever answer, having to do with there or any other place in the world.
See, Rick, I think that what's interesting here is that President Trump by the left is this caricature that he would throw, you know, if he would just totally answer questions like that. And they assume, you know, he's just going to throw it all out there. And what I see is someone who has been president before, has learned a lot over those first 4 years. And I think because of that is going to be able to, and it's a big statement to say this, but accomplish even more in these next 4 years because he has learned the ways of Washington and the mainstream media, and he's not afraid of them, but he's able to respond in a way that's not necessarily, again, being mean, just like, hey, you know, I get your question, but I'm the incoming president of the United States. I'm never going to answer a question like that to you. And he shouldn't, by the way.
Yeah. Look, you can add this to the very long list of things that are going to change in Washington. This is Washington speak versus Trump speak. And Donald Trump is an outsider. He doesn't like political lingo. He doesn't like to be long-winded and not get to the point. He wants to answer the question. And, you know, we talk a lot about the value of Trump and how he's a credible threat. But one of the greatest values for President Trump is that he is very direct. He speaks to people outside of Washington, D.C. The Washington, D.C. crowd asks this silly question. And everybody outside of D.C. says, he'll never answer that question. Why are you even asking it? And rather than give the typical Washington response of like, well, we have this interagency process and we're thinking of doing this, that, and the other, and you really talk for 5 minutes and say nothing, Donald Trump is just like, that's a ridiculous question that no one should answer. And it makes sense to the rest of America because that's what we're thinking. And the ways of Washington are changing. They're being challenged. And it's all a very good thing. We're going to be transparent. And that's what common sense government reform is about, transparency.
And Rick, I think that we are seeing an existential crisis in the media unfold before our very eyes. I mean, you have Michelle Goldberg writing in the New York Times, the great capitulation, powerful Americans have lost the will to resist Trump. You see the chaos that happened at CNN after their reporting in Syria ended up not turning out the way they wanted it to. And even the settlement with President Trump because of statements George Stephanopoulos made. They're so blinded by their bias. that they truly believe. I think that reporter truly believed, because in that reporter's mind, Trump is so deranged, he would answer a question about preemptive strikes because he wants to go bomb everyone and go to war, even though we know from the previous 4 years that isn't the case. And so that's why it's obvious to those of us outside of D.C. that he would never answer that question, because he's not deranged. He's not the lunatic that the media wants you to believe. He knows this isn't a question you answer. But I think our media, we are seeing more and more, they don't have the power to think rationally anymore. And I think that's a good thing for the American people to realize that's how our media is. But I wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Well, look, one of the great things about this past election is that we saw the entirety of the D.C. system and the media newsrooms of Washington completely melt down and go after Donald Trump, calling him everything from Hitler to a threat to democracy to, you know, everything. They went all in. They spent hundreds of millions of dollars to trash him. Washington, D.C. did everything they could. They emptied their arsenal against Trump, and they lost. The American people rejected Washington, D.C. and the media system. We now see that the viewership, the ratings for television and Washington, D.C. style media outlets is tanking. They need to wise up. I'll tell you one group that's wised up: the owners of these media properties. Jeff Bezos and others, you now see what's happening with the LA Times, which I'm a little skeptical of the ownership there still. But they have realized that their business model of only trying to appeal to half the country on the left is a dumb business model. It hasn't worked. So what they're now trying to do is to say, maybe we should have a business model that tries to get 100% of the American public. I do believe that we have to understand as consumers of news that every outlet is biased. Every outlet is a business. And so you as a consumer of news have a responsibility to have multiple news sources. You can't just get it from one. You got to get it from multiple news sources. And you need to be skeptical and you need to be challenging of what you're reading and what you're hearing. But at the end of the day, this is all very good for Americans because the power is draining from Washington already and Donald Trump hasn't even shown up.
Now, I mean, that's what has been interesting. It's like, Rick, a lot of people have said, though, he's not in the position to make the decisions. He's already become like a de facto president again because people have realized they know the significant changes that are coming. They know that the House Republicans are in charge, that the Senate Republicans are in charge. The team is coming together. The names are out there, their backgrounds, their kind of their policies, how they're going to, you know, you can look back and see kind of how that will all work together. And that, you know, it's not going to be the same time like it was the first time he took office, where this was pretty new to him and a lot of members of his team. To be at that level of government, even though those who had worked in government before. So some of they know the pitfalls, they know the bad actors to stay away from, they know some of the problems with the bureaucracy that you've got to be, you know, got to really watch yourself around. And I think they've also learned that if we see these bureaucrats acting, not just performing their, you know, their jobs, but actively working to undermine the policies and goals of the elected president of the United States, that we have to work with Congress so that the laws get reformed to make it easier to remove bad actors from the bureaucracy. And I think, Rick, one of the easiest ways to do it may just be, like people are discussing, like Elon Musk and others, making them show back up to work.
Yeah, look, I'm struck with, Jordan, after your question, I'm really struck with the fact that the overwhelming thought that God has a plan, and we don't always love the plan. I certainly know that over the last, you know, month. But you got to trust the plan. And I think God had a plan for Donald Trump. And to have this break, I now see it very clearly. to have 4 years and then 4 years out to think and strategize and to think, you know, what did we do right? What did we do wrong? Now that he's coming back in for another 4 years, I think these last 4 years are going to be monumental. They're going to be incredible for change and reform. That plan absolutely was God's plan. And I now see the benefit of that, even though I was frustrated in 20 when we lost. And I think that the action that we're seeing, you and I have talked about this before, there's a difference between a threat and a credible threat. When Donald Trump makes a threat, the leader of Canada gets on a plane and comes down to Mar-a-Lago immediately and has a conversation. That's a credible threat.
Now he's having a crisis at home. He's thinking whether or not he can even be the leader of Canada with Donald Trump, and whether or not he should just resign. I mean, that's how powerful a new president can be in just talking, just as you talked about, Rick, with a tough diplomacy. 1-800-684-3110. We're going to take your calls in the next segment of the broadcast. FBI and agencies like this, what do you want to see changed first? This is your opportunity to tell us. 1-800-684-3110. Thank you. All right, welcome back to Seculo. We are going to take your calls too. You got to get them in this segment very quickly. But the question is this: 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. I love that even you turn on and President Trump's new haircut is even in the news. I think, you know, he had a hat on. If a lot of us, some of us who have longer hair, I see your comments sometimes on my hair in the chats. Sometimes you go longer, sometimes you go shorter. But, you know, for those of us who have these kind of wild hairs, if you keep the hat on, that's kind of what it looks like. Regardless of how you style it, especially if you're playing in places that are still pretty hot, 88 degrees, that your hair is not going to look the same as it does, you know, after you've taken a shower and put a suit on. But it's interesting that even those kind of stories, people are watching closely. I actually think the media at some point is starting to again embrace the fun that can come with Donald Trump too. That it's,
right.
He wasn't screaming nasty at that reporter. About the Iran question, he said, it's a good question to ask. I just can't answer it.
Well, and you know what the difference is, too, is that the Donald Trump that a lot of people voted for in 2016 was that persona, that kind of not aloof, but freewheeling, yeah, having a good time, joking with reporters. But what happened? Why did we early on in his administration not see it? The Russia hoax.
Yeah.
Because he had to go to battle to even save his own presidency from day one.
Right.
Well, and we don't have that this time.
On, you know, all these major reforms, all the real issues facing our country. We had ISIS still, remember, building their caliphate. Al-Baghdadi was killed by Donald Trump. Then you had Soleimani taken out by the leader of the Iranian Revolutionary Guard. Then hostile places in the world, you know, COVID, all those issues that the administration was dealing with that Donald Trump took the blame for. I think people realized they put a lot of blame. I'm talking about, you know, regular voters here too, not the media, because they don't care. They tried to put the blame on him and then realized when you look back in history, wait, he put together Operation Warp Speed. Whether you took the vaccine or not, he made it available. He didn't try to mandate that you all have to take it, but he did make sure that it was available. And so but he could still bring in someone like an RFK Jr. to say, let's make sure we're doing these things, long-term vaccines that the, you know, kids take and get those, you know, series of, and new things that pop up, that it's okay to have skepticism of quickly established new vaccines. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't have to be very cautious about what China may do next to hurt the United States. But like as Rick said, in a unique way, because this is a very unique situation, Will, having those first 4 years as like a, not only like a brand new politician, but I mean, you're a brand new politician as president of the United States. Mm-hmm. You didn't get the kind of learn how to handle the political media as a junior congressman and maybe as a senator or as, you know, a mid-level state leader. You're going from, you know, business and using that kind of media into, you know, kind of entertainment and then right into these, you know, these media folks that will act like they're your friends until, until they've got a better story on you.
Right.
And when they've got a nasty story on you, they're going to dump it out. And they don't really care about the ramifications, if it's true or not, if enough of them put it out. I think the George Stephanopoulos thing is very interesting still to me. The fact that he got himself off of X, paying $15, $16 million because of the way he kept referring to a legal action that was not the case, and now does have to apologize and all of that. I mean, I think the media has to be, you know, as Rick said, you learn in those first 4 years a tremendous amount. And now you had 4 years to think about, I'm going to do this again. And if I get back there, this is what I'm going to do the same. And this is what I'm going to do differently. Some of that you might not really see if you're just watching the news. But I do think if you watch a little closely, more closely, you will. You will start to see that. This is someone now who has made very difficult decisions before. He knows these things aren't easy, that things aren't always easy to get done. Like, you get the Abraham Accords done and you think the whole world would be praising it, and they're not. And they'll even try to undo it. The United States would try to undo it, and the Biden team. So I think all of that, again, goes to the idea of, in this interesting situation, this is a president who got 4 years to get a lot done under attack constantly, as we know, being on his legal team. And then 4 years where he was still under attack, decides to run again, and now exactly knows what how he wants to use these 4 years.
And Jordan, I think it's interesting. You brought up RFK Jr., especially talking about Operation Warp Speed and the vaccine issues. And a lot of, I'd say a lot of conservatives and traditional Republicans are a little split on him. Logan and I followed his campaign very closely.
Yes.
And but one of the big things that conservatives are concerned about,
places that other candidates didn't.
Right.
Where we are in Tennessee, you know, this is one of the most red states in the country right now. But he still came here because there's what? There's a lot of young people here who are probably not tied to a direct to a party yet. And they want to see people like they want to see the RFK Jr.'s. They want to see the Tulsi Gabbard types. That's the kind of people that were that are interesting them now in the Republican Party.
Right. But one of the big concerns of conservatives has been his evolving views on abortion and being pro-life. He was originally said he didn't believe in restrictions. And during his campaign, actually changed and gave a very rational response of, I didn't think elective late-term abortion was a thing. I've now seen the data, and I believe we need to have restrictions on this. But Josh Hawley, Senator Hawley, met with RFK Jr. yesterday as he's making the rounds. And this is just an impressive list of things that RFK Jr. said to Senator Hawley that I think should really tamp down some of the concerns pro-life Americans, as we have our campaign for ACLJ.org/savebabies to advertise pregnancy resource centers to get more pro-life messaging out there. RFK Jr. told Josh Hawley he committed to reinstate President Trump's pro-life policies at HHS, including the Mexico City policy where Americans have to pay for abortions overseas and ending taxpayer funding of abortions domestically. He supports reinstating the bar on Title X funds going to organizations that promote abortion, Planned Parenthood. He pledged to reverse the Biden administration's Section 1557 rule and also said that all of his deputies at HHS would be pro-life. He told me he believes there are far too many abortions in the U.S. and we cannot be a moral leader of the free world with abortion rates so high. And finally, he pledged to reinstate conscience protections for healthcare providers. Those are things we're fighting for right now in New Mexico for hospital workers that are being told they have to perform abortions which violate their faith. It's happening to a nurse in Kentucky we're fighting for. So that list right there, I think that's really reassuring that he knows who his boss is. He knows he serves at the pleasure of the president and therefore can't just run amok with a more liberal view on abortion because that's not the mandate he's been given.
You know, and we are still fundraising too for that campaign. And I know, again, we have begun to sign some contracts to start that media campaign because of the donations we've received. My brother Logan was very clear with you that we need to raise about $500,000. And if we can do that quickly enough, we know that we can do this in other states that are hostile to these pregnancy resource centers, which are on the front line of the pro-life movement. And they're still going to be hostile to them if Donald Trump's president. So it's a key time to support the work of the ACLJ. We have new campaigns to start, to launch, to protect and defend, and also let people know the truth about pro-life pregnancy resource centers. We also have the ongoing cases that we've talked about, and I can't even imagine the amount of new cases we will have with the administration that is coming in, with so many of our friends and allies who will be looking to support from the American Center for Law and Justice. You want to be a part of it, you donate today. We are behind in our right now, so we need you to donate. Double that donation at aclj.org today.